This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to Seagulls Social. I still think this should be season four. I just do. But anyway, it's season not. 3, episode it's 48. It just should be though, shouldn't it? But anyway, season 3, I love that. Still, just about. Season 3, episode 48. Season 4, if you want to call it that, it's up to you really. But yes, we are joined by the boys, Ben and Maz. Boys, I see Maz is in a new location. Maz, where are you?
I am in Greenwich, mate. I've moved flats to Greenwich, lovely part of the world.
Postcode, please. Anyway.
Postcode
number, flat number.
We don't know who's watching. We could have some weird Crystal Palace / Chelsea fans watching. So I don't want to be leaking the addy. Don't want to leak the addy. But yeah, no, mate. Yeah, lovely place. New gaff. I'll give you guys a tour when we finish filming. But yeah, no, I love it.
Lovely.
So you got social exclusive content there. That'd be great. A little house there, that'd be good. Ben, yeah, how's things with you, mate?
Oh man, yeah. Well, as you know, but so actually. People probably won't remember, but in the last episode, I was saying how, well, I think maybe 2 episodes I was ill, and then the last episode, something else was wrong.
Oh, yes.
But basically, it turns out I had like a virus, which has now like gone into my joints, and like, so for the past like 4 weeks, I haven't been able to walk. Literally sounds bleak, it's pretty much been like that. Can kind of walk today, which is good. Hopefully, you're going to be back in the office at work next week. Yeah, it's just been horrendous, basically. But otherwise, really good. Simon Adingra is a superstar. To Simon Adingra. Otherwise.
Yeah.
All good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember you calling me and I was running to get a train at Hall, at Three Bridges, actually, I was. And yeah,
running.
I was
cheers,
not
mate.
Expecting cheers, quite the yeah, it was quite harsh. So I just realised what you mean. Hope you get better soon, Ben. That's for sure. That should be the comment of the day. Get well soon, Ben. And hopefully he won't have to say he's got something wrong with him at the beginning of the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I'm all good. I'm all good. Nice and very busy, if I'm honest with you. But everything's good in the world because Brighton are, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd say we're back, but I didn't expect us to be as good as I watched us last night. Yeah, we never went. It was never gone. And I've got to be honest, last night was really reassuring for me because I thoroughly enjoyed the game for one. But the way we played, I can see Maz agreeing with me here. The way we played was exceptional, wasn't it, Maz?
Yeah, mate, class. I don't usually, first of all, it's tough to usually watch preseason games, obviously, because like we're usually like away to Lewis or something in preseason. So it's quite tough to catch the preseason matches. But because it's on Sky Sports, like it's been great just to actually watch us in preseason, seeing all the players. Like I can literally list you probably 10 players that I've thought, wow, like this is really exciting. I think I tweeted it last night. I'm just so excited by it. Like we've got such a young squad. We've got so many talented players. Like we're struggling to sort of fit them all in, I suppose, into a starting 11 come the beginning of the season. But yeah, against Brentford, I thought we were brilliant. Obviously, I thought defensively we looked a bit shaky, but I think, you know, when we're not playing with any... I think we didn't play with centre-back for
first
about...
first 10 minutes. Jesus Christ.
Mate, the last half an hour, I generally don't think we had a centre back on the pitch. So yeah, like obviously that's nothing to go by. But yeah, defensively we looked a little bit shaky. But going forward, we just looked so good. And I'm just so excited about what's to come, really.
And Ben, I want to ask you, because I know this is such a you question. Wonder Kid, Simona Dingra, João Pedro, talk to me, mate, because that is a bit of you, a bit of Brazilian flair, and Ivory Coast as well.
Oh no, it's actually so much fun to watch. It's my Football Manager dream, watching a bunch of Wonder Kids play. Like, I do it on the video game every single season, and actually seeing it exactly in action on the pitch in real life for my club, it's so good. And also, I think just like this summer series, I know we'll talk about it in a bit, it's just, I'm really, really enjoying it because we're playing against Premier League opposition, like, unlike Lewis and Crawley, like Maz has kind of mentioned. The intensity in the games is so much higher than it would be if we were playing Crawley or some random Austrian team in the mountains somewhere that we have also done previously. And we're seeing the best out of all these youngsters that we've now signed as well. So I'm absolutely loving it. And yeah, it's just been a dream. João Pedro, the way I think the commentator even said it, he glides like a gazelle when he actually does. And he's so strong, which I did not realise. Like, his whole lot of play has been incredible, which is, I can only imagine, it's going to be working wonders for us next season. Reminds me a bit like Kane dropping deeper, and then you've got the two inside forwards or the wingers running forward in Ciso or Karamatoma or Adingra. It's only going to pay off next season. But it's been so much fun to watch.
I do agree, actually. He's like a sort of Harry Kane, the way he drops deep, but he's got sort of the flair and ability to get away as well, which is really, really reassuring. I've not seen sort of a player come in so quickly, and I just instantly think, my God, like, you are a star. And honestly, those first sort of 10 touches, I'd say, he had in that first half, I just thought there's not a single thing you've done wrong. You've done everything right. And when you see a player catch your eye so quickly and look so much better than everybody else on the pitch, you sort of feel like, what could go wrong? And I look at the £30 million valuation at first, because obviously it's different for Brighton. I know it's not different, but it is different, because we get to break that sort of £20 million margin, wasn't it? I think it was on Adam Webster. And then we splash out 30 on João Pedro. But I don't know about you, Maz, but that's looking like a bit of a bargain.
No, mate, 100%. And what, he's 21 years of age? So I think he's just got so many years to progress and just get even better. Like you mentioned, his pace, his directive, like running, he just excites you when he gets on the ball. And I think, what was it against Chelsea as well? When he came on as a second half sub, and he just sort of just, I know it's a friendly, but he changed the game. He just made it a bit more, gave us a bit more impetus, gave us that extra little bit of flair, as you mentioned as well, that Brazilian flair. So he's just so exciting and such a young age as well. And I think it'd be really key how we fit him in, I suppose. Like, there's been so much chat about who goes where, who plays where, and, you know, does he play as a number 9? Does he play as a number 10? There's just so many questions, which I don't know the answers to. I'm sure De Zerbi does. But, yeah, it's just, I'm really excited to watch him play in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I was going to answer your question there of where does he play. And I think to answer it in the best way possible would be, if everyone's raving about him as being a star and as being a shining light in the team, better than anybody else, and they can't decide where he plays, I think that only goes to show how good he actually is, because he can play up front, he can play on the wing, he can play centrally. If you can play anywhere, like De Zerbi knows, if you can be able to play across that front 4 or 5 even, and have the ability to drop deep and the strength to drop deep, you are in for a treat under a De Zerbi team, because that's exactly what he's here to do and going to get better at doing. So I think it's more about not worrying about where he's going to play in terms of position wise. It's about worrying about how he's going to, you know, improve across sort of his versatility. Ben, I was, before we sort of continue, because I was going to just sort of talk about the players, which is so easy to do because there's a certain somebody who deserves a big mention today. But Ben, I wanted to talk about the summer series, mate, because it seems like we keep saying, I know it's just a friendly, but I don't know about you, but it doesn't feel like just a friendly, does it? I don't know about you, but I'm quite enjoying it. I know you say it's on Sky, you can watch it, but it does feel like, you know, some Brentford fact players, they're going all in.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be fair, just saying that they're going all in, they were. They were doing some pretty nasty tackles on a lot of our players, honestly. That first half was the most stop-start half I've ever watched. Like, it's just constantly foul after foul and then stoppage after stoppage. It was quite annoying, that first half. But, I mean, saying that, and it's weird to say it for friendlies, but both friendlies, I did, just didn't want them to end because they were so exciting. It was really weird. And
yeah.
I don't like giving Americans credit, but they've actually done bits. They've done really, really well. They've done well, haven't they?
I know, like, Arsenal and Man United aren't part of the summer series, but... Like, if you, I don't know if you guys have seen the coverage on Lisandro Martinez, like the way he's going in. Like, I think the intensity in these friendlies seem to be pretty high. I feel like all the teams are really going for it, like the intensity wise. So yeah, I don't know if it is like the American.
Xavi,
I'm pretty sure they
complained about it today, didn't he? Xavi was like, yeah. Xavi said Arsenal played like it was a Champions League final, and he was saying it was too intense for a friendly. And then Ten Hag before the Arsenal match was saying we don't do friendlies and that sort of thing. So maybe it's just an English thing. Maybe we're just like out to show how good our league
is
in America.
But it's never happened before, has it? I mean, it's very new to football, I think, and it's quite good. Is it good? I mean, is it going to be one that's? Go on, Maz.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Well, there's a lot of like people getting injured and stuff, which obviously you don't like to see that at all, especially in friendlies. And obviously Van Hek got sent off as well for a second yellow. And obviously we don't condone that kind of behavior. but in saying that, I think there's two things to this. I think one thing, I do like the competitive nature because it shows like everyone's, you know, fighting for their place and, you know, people want to make sure they're in that starting 11 come the first game of the season. And then second of all, I don't know if it's linked, and this could just be sort of like a shot in the dark, but is it linked to the amount of football that the players are playing? Like, there's no really real break, do you know what I mean? Like, it just seems to be just continuous football. Yeah. I know, obviously, we had the Winter World Cup as well.
I was going
to
say this.
Like, I feel like maybe that could definitely be linked to it as well.
And as a pointer there, because, I mean, there's always so much complaints throughout the season if there's too many games. And obviously, if you're now making the summer break into, you know, a bit of a tournament competition thing, it's a bit reassuring to me. I feel like, is it reassuring to me or is it going to be a curse? I'm a bit sort of torn as to whether it's going to be one that's, I don't know about you, Ben. I feel like I know what I'm trying to say, where it's, you know, good because it's entertaining, it gives the fan value. But then at the same time, I can see the player's point of view as if you're going into the season and you've already got an injury. I mean, we haven't even seen Lewis Dunk yet, for example.
I don't really know what way it will go, but I'm leaning towards it being a positive because straight away they're going to be ready for the Premier League. They won't have gone from playing against a smaller club, for example, away and abroad, like pretty relaxed kind of low intensity game, because and then they go into the Premier League and be in really high intensity. I think if they're just carrying on that intensity the whole time, I guess it'll be good for the start. But then, yeah, will you see fatigue in the players when it comes to like the middle of the season because they've been playing these high intensity games in pre-season instead of your normal, casual, relaxed friendlies?
Mm. What about you, Maz? Do you think it's one that's good?
Yeah, so yeah, I think, look... all in all, I think summer series is brilliant just for in terms of exposure, like getting our name out there on a big scale, especially in America, and being amongst like the Chelseas, the Newcastles, maybe not so much the Brentfords, but I think definitely for like building our profile is definitely great. And also, yeah, the intensity and the experience we're hopefully going to get and playing some of our young players, I think it's going to be really, really valuable going into the season. So yeah, I'm a big fan. Hopefully we could do it next season as well.
Just quickly before we move on, that was quite a funny point about the Brentford thing, because I remember I saw someone's tweet being like, who actually in America supports Brentford? I guess they could probably say the same about Brighton, but I feel like they're that work for the Premier League were like handing out flags and shirts of the clubs just to like random Americans being like, right, today you're supporting this. It's just a bunch of like American actors in the stadium, because I don't know who in America supports Brighton or Brentford, other than my friend Kai Edwards, who lives in America now. Shout out Kai.
What's that guy called? Bahania? Andy Bahania?
Oh, Andy Bahania. No, there are. We've got stateside Seagulls. We've got quite a few other boys.
It's just a very different culture, isn't it, I suppose? But then it's a culture that, you know, inevitably is going to grow because it might be very different to here. And you know, what's right and what's wrong can debate that because I can't bother to get into that one. But I think the Americans tapping into some sports these days, clearly they want to grow some soccer out there. Just as long as they call it football in the Sky Sports, I'm absolutely fine with it. As long as we actually get some players back on, you know, without injuries. But the one player I did mention sort of in that was... Can you look for us not hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I thought you were looking like at me like I was like some sort of robot.
No. I've got a fan on basically.
Sorry, that's my fault.
I was literally concentrating on that right next.
Okay. I thought I'd got scared.
Who are you talking about?
I'm so used to it by now. I was going to say about Lewis Dunk. Obviously, he's out the squad again, isn't he? And you know, at the end of the season, I think it was the Zerbi said he had a problem with his back, wasn't it? Throughout the season, sort of worrying on. Hopefully not something to worry about because he is in training still, but I don't know about you, if either of you haven't seen anything regarding Dunk, because it's been a bit quiet from what I've
probably
seen.
Just a case of like managing because I think he said he was playing through it for like the whole season or for most of the season, so I guess it's probably just a case of like having some rest, because obviously that's why he pulled out of the England squad.
And I
believe he's back in training as well, so hopefully he's not too far off, hopefully.
Yeah, I saw him in Andy Bahanja's, I don't know, we're probably butchering his surname, Andy's video. I don't know if you saw that, he got him to sign him.
Bahanja.
Oh, that was so funny.
Andy got his arse out.
I saw him at Rebs.
You were going to Molly Malone's.
God. Oh, my God.
Good lad.
God. Awful. Okay.
Speaking of awful, go to Jason Steele. Sorry, no, that was rude. First 10 minutes, I mean.
No,
the first 10 minutes,
on,
I mean. No,
what's
I love Jason Steele. The first 10 minutes were awful. That's what I meant. Sorry.
What is happening?
Nearly got.
What is happening?
This concourse has gone down a drain over the summer. I feel like we've all just forgotten.
We were building this up so much this morning as well. We were like, this episode is going to be so good.
It's everyone like on social media saying, can Seagull Social just release something already?
Yeah,
this is what you got. I mean, I'm really sorry.
We're all on summer today, mate.
I am sorry.
It's carnage. Right, I'm going to take control.
Let's talk about...
Yeah, come on. Let's take control of this. Right, okay, so Jason Steele. Let's talk about Jason Steele. I think he will start come the beginning of the season. I still believe he will. Obviously, Verbruggen is a top quality goalkeeper. I know he looked a bit shaky against Brentford. But then, obviously, of course, he did get the assist for Adingra as well. So, like, he did show his passing ability as well. And, you know, he showed some good bits as well.
I wasn't saying Jason Steele was awful, by the way. I was just saying that first 10 minutes. Like, I think it was just the defence and everyone looked a bit shaky right at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up,
Fair
Ben.
Fair enough.
but I think Jason Steele will definitely be in between the sticks come the first game of the season. And also as well, I saw a few people because... I dug into him, but like Webster was obviously, I think he's been pretty poor these past two friendly games. And I know they're friendlies and, you know, he's playing alongside he had Van Der Hick in the first game and then he's been playing alongside makeshift centre-half. So it doesn't probably help his game. And I know it's only pre-season. However, I think he's looked a bit shaky as well. So I think it's not to say that they're bad players and you know, just because you haven't performed in pre-season doesn't mean you make you a bad player. But I think... with a few more games, like when it comes to the end of the pre-season, we'll be able to tell like who's ready to start and who's not. And I think Jason Steele will be one of those players that starts, in my opinion.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, we've yet to really see too much of Verbruggen. Obviously, he's literally labelled as one of the best and most exciting young players in the world at the moment. It'll be interesting because, as I say, in Anderlecht, he was fantastic. I think he had... something ridiculous, like 50% of his games was clean sheets or something stupid like this. And obviously, I know it's in the Belgian league, but equally, you know, his ball-playing abilities. But we say that Jason Steele's yesterday was very, very positive again. I always say that his sort of awareness for pass is very, very good. And by that, I mean the balls that he plays aren't really the easiest. I mean, say, for example, on that left side, particularly when we had Colwell and Estupiñán last year, he would always try and sort of dink it over the oncoming attacker to try and find that left side because that seemed to be our strongest. He did it again yesterday, and I think it was Adingra that received it quite deep, or maybe João Pedro. They dropped quite deep, and then he dinks it out wide to one of them. And that one that he knocked to Adingra really came from... the patient passing at the back and just waiting for everybody to come forward. And the question that really is the biggest point is, will De Zerbi get found out here? Now, I don't think he will, because I think he's smart enough to counteract whatever sort of gets thrown at him. And I think by now, a year on, you'd have think that someone would have counteracted it. But how about you, Ben? But do you think that this tactic is here to stay and, you know, he will just keep adapting? Or do you think that someone eventually will realise... you know, Brighton have to have something to stop it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Obviously, I'm not a professional manager, but from my eyes, I can't really think of anything.
Thank God.
I can't think of any way of dealing with it other than just by pressing. Like, I think that is that simple. Is that much of a simple tactic where you're just passing it around the back and then waiting for a moment? It's not... Exactly. There's not really much to it. So I can't really think, other than pressing, like Brentford did, and Brentford done it so well. But they just lack finishing, didn't they, a lot of the time? And they gave the ball away when they did win possession. Yeah. If Ivan Toney was on the pitch, then maybe we would have conceded a few more goals yesterday. But thankfully he wasn't, and their finishing wasn't up to scratch. But the worrying thing was, if that was another club, a more clinical club, then we probably would have conceded a few more. But then it has its massive advantages when, like you said, when João Pedro drops deep, it just opens up and it's like 4v4, and immediately you've got a brilliant counter-attack. And the pace that we have now is insane. Like, I love seeing that. And then also the Jason Steele's assist. You get opportunities like that. And what's the word I'm trying to look for? You get opportunities like that, in fact. And then we get a goal out of nothing, really. So it does have its massive advantages, and I can't really think of a way to deal with it if you're the opposition.
I mean, it was identical to the goal that was scored against Brentford in the league when it was Mitoma. And Jason Steele plays that long over the top ball, and Mitoma sort of lobs Raya at the time. And it's interesting because it's happened to Brentford again, but it seems like something that we try to do quite a bit as well. We did it quite a bit at the end of the season, sort of that really dropping deep, and then it usually go out wide to Mitoma or Colwill. Whereas now it seems like, you know, as you mentioned, we've got a little bit more pace. Adingra, João Pedro, they can receive it, but really get off the mark quickly. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is Tarek Lamptey's not going away, it seems. It seems as though De Zerbe wants to keep him in. Now, I'm just going to paint the picture for you. A fit Tarek just for one more season, please.
Can you imagine?
A fit Tarek with half his pace and able to play forward. With the pace we've got at the minute, I'm not saying we're unstoppable and going to win the league, Maz, but I feel like your tweet might not be far off.
Mate, honestly, the squad depth we've got now is just outrageous. Like, that's the thing. Trying to pick a Brighton 11 right now with the players that we've got, I think it's just really, really difficult. Like, you're looking at, let's say, just if you pick that one centre midfield spot, for example, right, the pivot, you can either have Gilmore, Mohamed Dahoud, or Pascal Gross. Like, that is just ridiculous to think. To think even a year ago that you'd have that kind of option, obviously with McAllister
Moises
gone.
As well.
And, well, yeah, exactly. Moises on the guaranteed on the other side. Ideally, he's the guaranteed start if he stays, obviously. It's just crazy to think that the squad depth we've got, and I honestly do not envy De Zerbe one bit trying to pick a starting 11 from that current squad, in the attacking position. it's just insane. Obviously, defensively, I still want a right back. I think Tarek, unfortunately, is too injury prone for me personally. Like, I would love him to start, and I would love to see him back at his best. I just can't see it happening. But I really want us to sign a right back and another centre back. I know we signed Igor, but maybe Colwill. That's all I'm asking for. Not much, you know. Don't shoot me. If we can get maybe one more centre back and one right back, I will be ecstatic. And I think going into the season, we will be stacked literally in every position.
So good, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Levi. He was sat there like a jealous ex, wasn't he, watching?
Jealous.
I mean, the Chelsea fans were all watching the game, which was quite interesting, actually. Look, I'm so bored of doing this. I mean, I feel like all I do is I wake up and I talk about Colwill and Caicedo every single day since May. Today we've had Caicedo bid rejected within minutes, by Charlie Parker-Turner. Of £80 million, the fee which Chelsea was so convinced would be the one that secured the services of Moises Caicedo was rejected in minutes by Brighton, and Tony Bloom will still never sell any of his assets for anything less than he values them at internally, regardless of what anyone says in the external. Question, Ben, how much is Caicedo worth?
I was actually, literally before we start recording, I was getting into a bit of an argument with a Chelsea fan on Twitter, which is something rare I do. I don't usually get into arguments on Twitter. But he was saying he was commenting on something, a meme that Maz done, actually, the Bloom turning it down straight away. And he was like, oh, well, you're not getting 100 mil for him. So I just quote tweeted Fabrizio's tweet where Chelsea were saying that they want a minimum of 50 for Gallagher. When I was like, well, if he's worth 50, then Caicedo is definitely worth 100 million. Which he was saying, well, Caicedo's only been playing for 18 months in the Premier League. And in those 18 months, he's proved to be 10 times the player that Gallagher is. So his just argument's poor. And also said that blame his own club for causing these astronomical prices because they've paid big money for average players like Cucurella. So it's their fault that this is all happening anyway. Declan Rice is going for crazy money. I know you've got English tax as well. What was the question?
How much is it worth?
That's right. 100 million. I'm going to agree with Tony Blue.
It was a one thing. Okay. Yeah. I would ask the same to you, Maz, but you're probably going to agree, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, look, respectfully, if Declan Rice is worth 105 or whatever his was, then Moises Caicedo is worth exactly the same, if not more, than 105.
And Man United want 40 mil for McTominay. Like, what are they smoking over there?
Yeah, exactly. He's three. There you go. If you're going to go 40 million for McTominay, then Caicedo's at least three
if
times.
If this club ever spent 40 million on McTominay, I'd never forgive. I'd never forget.
Even Gallagher,
that would be horrendous.
I generally wouldn't want Gallagher. I actually wouldn't. I don't think he's any better than what we have in that centre midfield position. He's nowhere near Caicedo's level. So for us to buy
he's
him,
just a dog. Before... He'll just run and run. Yeah. But we've got runners. But then we've also got much better in Gilmore. I mean, much better. Mm. I mean, I look at players for skill set. I don't look at them for what they do in position. And when I look at Caicedo and I look at Gilmore, the skill set of Caicedo alone is ridiculous. I mean, that's what determines how much he's worth. It's ridiculous. And at the end of the day, you know, Chelsea fans can say what they want. He's worth more than Colwill. Of course he is. So the skill set of Caicedo is so sort of intense for a midfielder of the age of 21, 22 years old. He's got another, 10 years of growth at the top level, 15 years of growth at the top level. So think what the player he could become in 7 of those years when he hits his prime. So
it's
mad.
The final thing I'll say on the whole Caicedo thing is two things. One, I think he came out with, I don't know if it was his camp or someone, I think Romano tweeted it, saying that he's, because of his age, which is 21, he's actually not too fussed whether he doesn't move this year because he knows that he's so young that he'll get, so I don't know how reliable that source is. But if it is true, obviously, that's great to hear. You know, he's thinking, I am only 21 and I've got so many more years to come that, you know, why do I need to move right now? Get a Europa League season under my belt and then I can move on after. And he'll still get, we'll still get a big fee for him. And then second thing, just either pay the 100 million or just stop, because it honestly is the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, just every update every day from Romano saying, bid rejected. It's just so boring.
Nothing's changed, as we know. And, until one or the other happens, nothing's going to happen, and nothing has happened, so therefore nothing will happen.
I've got a quick question, though.
What I will say...
obviously, we've signed this Igor guy. I don't know if it's because I obviously really want Colwill, and all I can think of is Colwill as a left centre-back, and we've got this other left centre-back. I just don't... It's weird, but I don't feel attached to him. I know we've only just signed him, but sometimes when we sign someone, I'm excited and I feel attached to him already, but I'm not getting that from him for some reason. I know we haven't really seen much of him, but usually there's like an instant like connection there, even just through Instagram or a video announcement. But for some reason there isn't. I think maybe it's because I'm just thinking about Colwill in the back of my mind. I'm not over my ex yet. I can't move on. That's what I'm dealing with right now.
That is such an interesting thing to say.
Do you not feel? Are you excited by Igor? Are you really excited? He just doesn't look like a Brighton player to me. Like seeing the photos of him there, I'm like, it doesn't. In my head, it's just not.
I've seen him in the shirt, mate. So I think he's a Brighton player. But go on, sorry, Maz.
I think I sort of get where you're coming from, Ben, in the sense of like, because I think we're so hooked up on Colwill. The Eagles sort of gone a little bit under the radar. I think that's how I'd assess it anyway. I wouldn't say I'm not excited by him, because I think, you know, a Fiorentina player who got to the Conference League final last year, pretty young, left-sided player, left-footed, I believe, as well. Like, he does excite me, but I do get what Ben's saying. I think because I'm still so caught up with Colwill and wanting Colwill to come in so badly, I think he's sort of slightly gone under the radar. Maybe we're not as excited as we would be if we weren't linked with Colwill.
It's like when your mum says we've got pizza and that we're getting pizza tonight, and then it ends up you're getting frozen pizza from Asda instead of Domino's or something like that. That's what it feels like. We've got a left side. We've got a left side of centre back at home. Don't worry. We've got this bloke called
I've
Eagle.
Got mixed family, so I'm all good.
He's got a name from the bloody Shrek movie. I don't know. Weird.
When it comes to this, look, at the end, I don't even understand what's going on in this pod anymore. When it comes to Igor, look, left side of centre back. The thing I look at Igor is Dan Burn. We sold him for 13 million. Covered left back, covered left centre back, very well. But Dan Burn wasn't really a starter. He started breaking in a little bit, you know. I think when we didn't really have left back cover, if I'm right in saying. Now we've got Estupiñán. We definitely need left back cover when Estupiñán's out, because otherwise we're pretty done for. Igor can cover us that, and we've also got someone to back up to whoever our main side of that left side is, because we do want two centre backs. It's been announced that we want two centre backs. It's public knowledge that we want two centre backs. One of them's been signed. It's going to be a Burn replacement. That's how I look at him. So if he does anything better than what Dan Burn did, it's
good. See, I didn't know.
And when it comes to the Europa League,
he's good. I could play left back as well. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Right,
fair play.
So that's how I look at him. He's like a Burn. I look
at
him.
Then I am happy with that. And I think, you're not a character.
For 15 million, and you've got a very established sort of player that's played in Italy. And done well in the Conference League until obviously that mishap at the end. But if he's done well for all that time, he's 25 years old, had some experience in Europa League, and he's coming into Brighton for the Europa League, really. Good sign. Yeah. £15 million. Most people would be spending 25, 30 million on players like that.
I think for 15 million, it's not risk-free as such, but it is kind of, with the amounts being spent
nowadays, like, nowadays, exactly.
It's like 5 million back in old money. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a good sign in that sense. My only thing is, and I read this yesterday when he signed, his record last year, 45 games, he got 12 yellow cards and 2 red cards.
God.
So hopefully, which is like, I think by my maths, I could be wrong here, but I think that's a yellow card every 10 games. No, that's not right.
Calder Newman every four games. Clutch, yeah.
Every four games, he's got a yellow card, which doesn't sound too crazy, to be honest with you. But I think if you accumulate this over the season, and you get 12 yellows and 2 red cards, I just hope it doesn't especially, cost us, and we have like a hot head, or
especially with the way
we
play as well.
You know, cost us games
when you need to dive in just means a few times when you've lost the ball. I know.
Yeah, we'll just be a centre back and manager down every 5 games. That's how it'll be.
It's all good.
Yeah. We'll be without De Zerbi and Eagle for
now. I mean, we've said it so often now with Roberto. I think that this is the one biggest difference that we've
seen.
That's
why
he signed him. Not malice, that's wrong. But the sort of fire, we've got a bit more of an edge to us now. You know, we'd always go on about how we'd be the nice guys, and we really were under Potter. We were the sort of pushover nice guy. And I think that under De Zerbi, he's just sort of added that little sense of ruthlessness across the whole squad. And obviously signing Igor, that's my little caveat to try and make Igor's awful disciplinary record look
good.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's move on. Let's talk about, we could talk about Adebayor, to be fair, because we spoke about a bit about how his goal was fantastic, and I wanted to give him sort of the moment of his little segment, because he deserves it. He's come in, he's 21 years old, for God's sake. I think he's signed for 5 or 6 million. And if you listen to the casuals on football Twitter, Brighton have done it again. They really and truly have. Simon Adingra. Ben, talk to me, mate. I mean, his first goal particularly was a great one. That second touch. One, underrated first touch. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Oh, look at that, see.
There you go. Waves. There you go. But he's been incredible. And it's quite funny, because I'm sure we've both done it, and a lot of other Brighton fans have done it, when every time Matoma gets brought up, we always go, yeah, we've got another one cooking in Belgium as well. It's called Adingra. You'll hear about him next season. Mm. And I've done that to a lot of yeah. fans, especially a few Liverpool fans.
He's arrived.
Because they love Matoma. But yeah, and now he's arrived and people are finally hearing him, finally seeing him. Palace fans are giving us loads of praise as well, which is so weird to see.
It's
so strange to see. And one of the funniest things I saw on Twitter was like Zaha left for Galatasaray. And then we've got his regen straight away. And Palace fans must be fuming. I thought that was hilarious.
I've seen a lot of Sadio Mane comparisons as well. Like people saying Mane vibes, which, yeah, I sort of see that as well.
The blonde streak in his hair. And yeah, his football ability stronger. As well.
Yeah, the blonde streak. Yeah. I think I reckon, and I don't think he needs it, but like, I reckon a season at Bayern just to get him into Wham, you know, into a Lewandowski / Goretzka. I think if we can get a season on loan at Bayern.
Over in Germany.
Yeah, get him a few asthma pumps as well. And, mate, he'll be flying. I think he's going to be, I think he's going to be a special player.
Our club doctor, Adam Brett, is wham enough. And also the other dude, I don't know his name. So I'm sure they'll give Adingra some few tips to get muzzled.
Big guys. But
Ryan, Adingra looks so good. How the hell are we going to fit all these players in our team? I'm really looking forward to this segment in this podcast where we have to build a team because... We're going to have to leave out some big names.
And I
don't know how Adingra fits into it with other players.
I was going to say Adingra's for me, and look, say what you want, he's left side. I think he's better off the left. I think right side nullified him. That's just me.
No, agree.
Right, we can talk about that in a bit, but we will. Adingra-wise, comparison to me, and on a much smaller scale, because I know that it's hard to ever compare the past Brighton to now because like it wipes the floor, right? But Loire Loire vibes. I get serious Loire Loire vibes, but better. By a serious distance better. You know, Loire Loire, as much as I love the bloke, so many blind alleys every single time. Go down, try and get the ball across, hit first man. It goes out for a corner at best. Sometimes it's coming off him again. And I love Loire Loire. Long shots absolutely like epitomises my childhood pretty much. But Adingra gives me them. The way he sort of does his step overs, the way he sort of lets the ball run a little bit too far in front of him when he taps it past players. I like that. It's very, very raw. I think rawness is obviously a bad weakness at times. But also, if you've got the first touch that Adingra and the pace that Adingra has, it's okay. I think he gets away with it. I think there's a lot he needs to learn because, you know, you can definitely see some immaturity sometimes. But, mate, he looks class. Him rotating with Matoma, you know, same Matoma's played a long game in the Europa League, tearing it up. You got Adingra to come on at the 60th, 70th minute.
And just quickly as well, you talk about, like, you know, the little facets of the game where he might not be so strong as. It's the same with, I know Bonanotte's been a bit of a talk of Twitter as well the past couple of days. Like, same vibes with him. I think there's a player in there. He's only 18 years old. There's definitely a player in there. And there's a reason why De Zerbi's not loaned him out, where he obviously loaned out Sarmiento and kept Bonanotte for a reason, because he obviously believes in Bonanotte's qualities. So yeah, like, look, I agree. I don't think Bonanotte is ready to start by any stretch of the imagination. But it's the same with Adingra. Like, I think he's sort of like on the what's the word?
The edge.
Yeah, the cusp. That's it. He's on the cusp of just being good enough to start,
Human
but
thesaurus.
still having a few things that he needs ironing out. And like you said, you know, a few things you mentioned, just those little intricacies that I think he still needs to work on. I think he will get there at some stage. Maybe not in the first half of the season, but come sort of the back end of the next season. I think, this season he'll be a madness.
Yeah, and while we're going through players that I think is really ready for their breakout, and I just want to say props to the boy himself, because he has changed it around in such quick succession. Billy Gilmore was fantastic, and I think the way he's really come on leaps and bounds, he's gone from the player of sort of the outsider and sort of even forgotten about at times, even in on the bench, and now I probably wouldn't think anything other than starting him. If we do manage to keep hold of Casado, and it means we don't get Cole, well, so be it. And we keep hold of Casado and Gilmore for a year. That double pivot is just as good, if not better, anyway, because Gilmore's only 21, 22, and he's got plenty of room to grow. I think that the way that he's grown is admirable, to be honest. And all Gilmore needs to do is just take a couple more shots, because I reckon he could bag a couple of goals in the positions he gets himself in on the edge of the box.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just the way he sprays it out wide as well. I love the way he does like a blade card passes. Mm. That's so nice to watch.
I think that's the only difference with him and McAllister. That's right. I think the only difference between him and McAllister is that output. I know McAllister really added that. I think it was the beginning of not this season. I think the start of last season just gone. We used to question, didn't we? Like, what's McAllister's output? Is he good enough on the attacking front? And he added goals and assists to his game last season.
He still add that much though, you know.
No,
and that's
true.
A bit of a
true.
Myth, I think.
True.
He didn't get many assists at all.
Yeah, supposed to be fair. Yeah, it was mostly penalties, to be fair. I would love to see. But I don't think necessarily Gilmore, that's like his game. Like, I don't think he necessarily has to get
goals and assists.
Yeah, like, because I think he's just.
It'd just be nice to see him take a couple of shots, I reckon.
Yeah, just test the keeper. But he'll do the dirty work, and he'll
100%.
And like I said, Ben said, he's got great range of passing as well. So I think he's just there to make the team tick and just make sure that, you know, we're hassling, we're pressing, and we're winning the ball back when needed. Like, he's just that, he's just class. I really rate him.
I've compared his sort of fellow, I guess you could call it comparison, but I don't really think so. But I'd say Alzate is the sort of modern day Dale Stevens. I think Alzate is so class. I love Alzate. I love the work he does on the pitch. I love the fact that no one gives him credit. And I love the fact that whenever I say it, people sort of agree with me, but then think, is he? Yes, I think he is. I think he's great. And I think him and Gilmore, sort of how they're growing at the minute, are going to be good for us next season. Could be completely wrong, but we'll see. I think, am I running out of Jack Hinzelwood's probably worth a mention just for how he's been coping as well.
Mate, what a baller.
On that right side. Yeah, big props to him, you know, sort of coming up. De Zerbi gave him a lot of praise. Lallana gave him a lot of praise about De Zerbi's praise. What are you saying, Ben, on Jack Hinzelwood? Do you think one that's going to settle in quickly, or do you think he's going to be sort of on the outside? You never know. De Zerbi could even just throw him into the starting 11 against Luton.
It's a tough one. I think I'll be leaning on more probably going out on loan maybe to a better opposition for sure. Because unless... De Zerbi sees him as a right back, which obviously I'm pretty sure he's a centre mid. So he's been playing out of position in these games, hasn't he? And still done really, really well and earned people's plaudits. But I don't know, maybe alone, I imagine. I don't know if he'll be good enough to start in the Premier League or kind of battle for a starting place in the team.
He's got a big footballing history, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course. Because of his dad and that. But I've been impressed, but I feel like he's just one of those players like Ed Turns, that's they get their minutes during pre-season with the first team, and then they'll probably he was really good. But I think I can't think of any bad players that we had over the past two games. I've been impressed with quite a lot of them, and just nice to see Hinchinwood do well as well because of the Brighton connection.
Mate, do you know one quick sort of like mention? I just want to, because it's really sort of not bugging me, but it's been like playing on my mind. I think Dennis Undav, I don't know about you boys, but I just feel like he's got that extra yard of pace. Yes. Like, I just feel like he's got quicker, he's got a bit more agile and
more confidence.
I don't know what
it is. It's more confidence.
Yeah, maybe. But confidence. He looks so much sharper and quicker than what he did during the season. Like, I remember, was it Man United, that semi-final, when he had that heavy touch, and I was just like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, he did have a terrible game that day. But in general, he just looked really slow, sluggish, like his first touch wasn't great. But in the pre-season, I know, again, it's only two games in, let's not get too, gassed.
But also the back end of last season, he just looks so much... that as well.
He got
much better, but I just feel like he's just got that extra yard of pace now, and he just looks trimmer, a little bit more trim, a bit quicker. I don't know. It just looks like he's been really working hard over the summer, and it looks like it's hopefully going to pay off.
I'll be honest with you. I think Undav was. I think he probably even said it. To be fair, it was so clear he was just low on confidence because the sort of things he was doing just it wasn't what a footballer would do. It was a footballer on low confidence. You could tell he was good. That game, I'm going to really play on my mind here. Aston Villa in the friendly during the winter break, had a couple of good games. And then there was one where he played a couple of, I think it was the beginning of last season. God, I cannot think who it was. And he had a couple of goals where he sort of drilled them hard and low. And I remember saying at the time, to score goals like that,
Grimsby,
you have to be a good striker, because it could have been. I think he scored his first goal against Forest Green.
Oh, and yeah, then Forest there was one. Yeah, it was for the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Forest Green.
This is really playing on this this brain here. But yeah, there was one where he played in a friendly, I think it was right when we first signed him. And he was lethal in front of goal. And I think everyone just was like, no doubt in that, but can you improve your overall game? I think you're right, Maz. I think if he can just include that now, and I think he is doing, because, you know, you definitely saw it. I think Chelsea away, Arsenal away, you really saw it last season. I mean, look at them front three options. You've got Undav, you've got Ferguson, you've got Danny Welbeck, even, to be fair. He's been very, very good. João Pedro. I mean, those are four centre forwards that are very capable at, you know, that sort of top level.
This probably leads us on to where we should try and figure out this starting 11, because just thinking about it whilst you were
that's
talking.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Oh, sorry. We could probably build like three or four teams, I'm not even joking, with the amount of players and the depth that we've got. Maybe not as much rotation in defence, because I don't know if we've got that much depth there. But
needed, though.
Yeah, definitely needed. But yeah, in the midfield and the forward roles, you could definitely build like three different teams with those Brighton players. How are we going to do this, Ryan? Do you want to build yours, or should we like agree on positions and then build it that way?
I could just run through positions and then sort of do a vote on three without waffling too much.
Yeah.
And then we can go and just build our own one.
Let's do that. Let's try and keep it punchy.
Yeah, because otherwise I feel like our TikTok viewers will quickly swipe.
They're gone, mate. Don't worry. Because
their attention span's so low these days. They're gone, mate. They are gone. Anyway, so let's go. So goalkeeper. It's already difficult, isn't it? So it's either Verbruggen or Steele.
Just quickly. Is this who we think is going to start the first game against Luton?
Best 11, I reckon.
Based on what we've seen in pre-season.
But I think best 11 is... Yeah, okay. To be fair, that's not a bad shout.
Because that's the thing. The best 11. So, like, in my eyes, Verbruggen is a better goalkeeper than Steele in the sense of like quality. Yeah. Like, as in, but I think Steele will start. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's two different.
Who plays things, at the Amex opener then, Maz? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Okay. I think that's the easier way of doing it. Yeah,
that makes sense. Okay,
so
cool.
I vote Steele. I vote Steele.
Steele, Ben. What are you saying?
Yes, I mean Steele plays. Steele plays. For sure.
Steele plays because it's two on one. And I don't know. I still feel like that. Still feel like Verbruggen's got something in him. But yeah, I do agree. You can't drop Steele, can you? Because he's just doing well. Fair play, Jason, because you've done very well, mate. And I'm absolutely hat off to the bloke. I think he's class on and off the pitch. Yeah. Okay, Steele starts. Centre-backs. I'll start with you, Ben.
What, both?
Right side.
Is it right side? Yeah, maybe. Well, I guess Dunk. Does he start on the left or the right these days? He's normally left, isn't he?
Call him. Well, he is better technically on the left, but go with right because that's where he played alongside Colwill most
all
of
right,
the time.
We'll go. Well, that's the thing. I'll just do the two centre backs because I think that might be easier. But I think it'll be Dunk and Webster because I don't know if Igor will start, and I doubt we'll have Colwill by then.
Okay, Maz.
We'll just do it on players that are actually at the club right now. We can't be including Colwill in this.
Messi Ronaldo laptop.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
You should do it just for the wind up. Yeah. Imagine the interactions.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, Elon pays for Twitter Blue, mate. I'd be on that.
We'll mock up a graphic as well. Actually, we'll put out on Instagram as well. we'll put Colwill in just a banner.
Yeah, Colwill.
No, right. My centre backs will be Dunk and Dunk and Webster are my centre backs. I'll be honest. Yeah, as I said, I think Webster hasn't looked great, but I think with the options available at centre back, I'm gonna have to go Webster. I think.
See, I disagree on the Webster side. I think he's been good. I don't think he's been. Good. But then again, you look at the players who've been playing alongside in the pre-seasons. It's not really been a fair judge. Anything bad on Webster at this stage. So I'll say, I think Duncan Webster, but obviously Duncan Levi would be a dream. Okay, let's go with the right, because I know I've sort of messed it up. I should have gone right to left, but we'll go back to the right. Obviously, I think I'll start with this one, but I think it's going to be Veltman. I don't think Tarek's going to be ready. Depends on whether we get Holm as well, which we're heavily linked with at the moment, this Swedish right back from from Italy somewhere. What about you, Maz? Right back.
Veltman for me. But I do definitely want more cover at right back. Like I said earlier, I think just having Veltman and Tarek Lamptey as your fullback options, I think, it's not going to serve you well for the, especially with the amount of games we're going to have and the different competitions we're playing. So, I think Veltman starts, and I would love to see us bring in a right back.
Yeah, I'm just gonna do the next three positions because I know we can all agree on them. So it'll be Veltman, I agree with you. Left back, obviously Purvis. The first centre mid will be Caicedo because he will still be at the club. The toughest thing is who plays next to Caicedo. I'll start the vote.
Yeah, this is actually a good
I think goal. Billy Gilmore starts with Caicedo.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think if there's a second choice. Well, no, this is so tough.
So many.
Well, Pascal Gross, though.
Oh, my God, Pascal Gross, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, because you got Pascal Gross.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Gross isn't playing the pivot.
I don't like him at right back, which is, he's played there quite a few times. I just don't like
Gross
that,
sort of
like,
just concept. Floats everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, true. But then who do you, but then where do you play Gross then? And also, Gross, what formation are you playing?
I mean, 4-2-3-1.
Just going with what he's heard in the
Yeah, 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, then Gross technically goes on the right, but it's never really ends like that.
Yes, well, I don't know how to. Gross is just a myth. Should we just? I don't really know what position. He's just everywhere, even though he's the slowest.
Gross
person
is just
in
a 12th man.
Yeah.
Gross is a 12th man without even realising. Like,
I feel like we have.
He's on the team sheet, we don't realise like how he gets there.
We always have 12 players.
He's there every time. He's there every time, but I just don't even know how he's there. Oh my God, that's weird.
That's
that
a
is
great
proper conspiracy, isn't it?
That's you, actually so, mate, that's I've, actually,
mate,
that's actually
I honestly,
conspiracy.
This is a conspiracy theory. I've seen, and I'm telling you, I've seen Gilmore Caicedo, or I should say McAllister Caicedo. I've seen Gross in there alongside March, and alongside, that is
we play
so
with 12
weird.
Players.
That is really
we get away with it somehow.
Yeah,
we actually
right,
must
right.
do.
Right, let's clarify though. Let's clarify. So we've got the back four and the goalkeeper sorted. We've got Caicedo obviously in midfield. But who are we going to decide then? So it's either Dahoud, Gilmore, or
Alzate.
Who's the other one we said? Alzate.
It's Gilmore.
Right,
I'm gonna
vote Gilmore. Yeah, Gilmore. I'm voting Gilmore. Gilmore. Yeah, Gilmore.
Good.
Yeah, Gilmore.
Yeah, agree.
Right, okay, cool.
And on the right, we're saying Gross then.
No, well, Solly March, where does he come in? Do you know what I mean? Like, how is this? How does De Zerbi do this? We need to play with 15
no,
players
I'll,
next
I'll
year.
I'll go. If we have to put Gross on the right, I'll put Gross on the right. Yeah, because he has to be in the team for me. But then,
this is a joke. This is so difficult. What the hell's going on?
I'm gonna go Gross. I'm gonna go Gross because he has to be in the starting lineup somehow, somewhere.
How does De Zerbi do this every week? He's going to be having to do this two times a week.
Just put Gross in the middle.
How does he do this?
What in the I'm happy with that in the middle. Yeah, I'll put him in.
But then Gross doesn't even play a ten. But this is the thing. Gross doesn't play on the right. He doesn't play the pivot. He doesn't play the ten. He doesn't play up front.
Yeah.
Gross just does what he wants, and he's a legend for it. And I think that's what we love him for.
But then we never have holes anywhere either. I just don't get it. We never have we don't have some random person missing right wing because someone else is playing there. I don't.
Right, boys, we need to pin this down. Where who we? Right, let's just stick to positions. I know that it's very fluid and Serbi does love to play a fluid formation. But let's just say we are playing a 2-3-1. Who goes on the right?
Solly March.
Well, I guess you've got to drop Gilmore then in that sense, because then otherwise it's going to be a mess.
Unless you do Solly March on the right, Gross is a 10, then you've got a left wing and a striker that we got.
But we played a double pivot, McAllister, Caicedo, the whole of last season, so that doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We've got a 2 there, and then we'll have a right winger, Cam.
Yeah, but you're not going to play Gross and Caicedo as the pivot, are you?
I know, but I would probably just throw Gross in number 10 just for argument's sake because it's so fluid, I think. And then you've got a right winger, left winger, striker.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm happy with that. All right. So number 10, Gross. Okay, and then on the wings, who are we going for? Obviously, Mitoma for me.
10, by the way.
Yeah, 10. Just number 0.
Yeah, 10.
Number 0.
Yeah, literally.
I think one winger, definitely Mitoma for me. Definitely. He's a joke.
That's on the left.
Yeah, left.
I agree, by the way. He printed his name on there straight away. Mitoma starts.
Yeah.
And
so Mitoma
and
left.
Right.
Well, it's got, I think Solly March will start because of how well he's done last year, and Deserve loves him.
If it's based on who's going to start the opening day, I agree. Yeah, Solly March, it will be Solly March. Yeah.
I agree. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because, you know, not long ago it feels that I was saying that Solly doesn't get in our best team. And I think now he does. Mm. I think last season, 7 goals, 7 assists in the Premier League. Had a very good season. Versatile. Why wouldn't you have him in the team at the moment? Adingra, by all means, but I think he'll come off the bench on his debut, if I'm honest. Up front.
Here we go.
Okay, João Pedro.
Think about all the players that are missing right now, by the way.
Or Danny Welbeck.
Haven't mentioned it. Adingra's not starting, and Ciso's not starting. Ferguson's not mentioned yet, obviously, because João Pedro's not mentioned yet. Welbeck, Undav.
Ciso.
Got all these players. Facundo Buenonosso, obviously, probably not going to start. But
I think if we're going by who will start against Luton, I think he'll start Danny Welbeck. But if it was me, I'd start Evan Ferguson.
Yeah. No, I think it will be
Evan
Ferguson.
I'd start João Pedro.
Oh, my God, this is so tough.
Would you?
You can't have João Pedro about that team. He's too good now.
But Ryan, I can't argue against that. I can't argue that. But I want Evan Ferguson to play the nine. That's my thing.
I think Ferguson's still off the bench player at the moment in this team at the minute.
Do you think
he's still off the bench? I think he's the best all round complete forward I've ever seen at the club. But I think he still doesn't offer as much as Pedro at the minute. Yeah.
And
I think if you're going off pre-season currently, has to be João Pedro.
João Pedro hates Luton because of the whole Watford thing. I'm pretty sure they're rivals. So
yeah, there you go.
He's going to bag a hat trick on the opening day by playing number 9 for Brighton of Albion.
I'm outvoted. We'll go João Pedro then up top.
By the way, Pedro won't even play up front. This is the weird thing. Pedro won't play up front, and Pascal Gross won't play in the 10.
Okay, this is the last time we'll ever build.
It won't work like that.
This is the last time we build.
I actually don't want to do this again. This is too stressful.
That's why I thought best 11 would be good. Let's do best 11 quick. Can we run through best 11? That would be really easy just to nail it by position. Okay, I'll quickly run through mine. Right, so best 11. Right now, I haven't seen enough of Brugge, so I'm going to say Jason Steele, Veltman, Dunk, Carl Will, because we'll sign him, Purvis, Caicedo, because we'll keep him, and bid off Chelsea. No, okay. Sorry. Adam Webster instead of Carl Will or Igor. Caicedo, Gilmore. Then we'll have, on the right, we'll have Enciso, but it'll be so Brent fluid. Fire. Then we'll have Gross, then we'll have Matoma, and then João Pedro, and everyone will be mixing up. That'll be incredible.
Ryan?
All right. Am I doing the same? Okay. For Bruce Steele, one of them two. And then we'll have, right back, we'll have Bruce Veltman. And then we'll have Dunk, Webster, Estupiñán, Caicedo, Gilmore, Matoma, Pedro, Gross, and then Ciso.
Wow.
In Ciso, that's interesting.
I think it was the same team that I picked, but just in a different order.
Yeah.
Was it?
But this is the bad thing, yeah? You know, in Ciso, by the way, sorry to pull it back. You both said in Ciso in your best 11s, but yet he wasn't even anywhere near our 11 for Luton.
Yeah, but it just doesn't fit De Zerbi in that Luton team somehow. That's what I'm saying. But that's why we're not football managers, Matt. That's why we're not football managers.
Yeah.
Because he'll play.
We're just going based off like who we like, right?
We're filming this at the end of everyone's had long days, respectfully, right? We've all been working. We've had delays on the side of this. We've had to stop it twice. Yeah. All right. I hear Maz 4 seconds after I've said something. there is problems here.
We really need a studio.
Yeah, it's not just Maz. It's just not managerial problems. It's also technical issues we're dealing with here. Mine's gonna be. Do you know what? I'm gonna stick with the team I tweeted yesterday. I'm gonna go with Steele, Veltman, Dunk. I'm gonna take Igor out for Webster, Estupiñán, Gilmore, Caicedo, Adingra, João Pedro, Matoma, Ferguson. It's a Gross. Gross or Gilmore, one of the two. I don't know yet. But yeah.
Yeah, because you did get cooked for leaving Gross out. It's tough.
Yeah, I got cooked for leaving Gross out. Mate, but so...
If you say he might be in, he might be out, you can't get in trouble.
No, true, true, exactly. Yeah, Gilmore, Gross, one of the two.
Right. Well, let you decide. People in the comments, let us know who your best 11 is, because I think
we'll put what we'll do. You boys, you send me your 11s. I'll make it into a graphic. We'll put it on Instagram as well, and we get people to vote who they think out of us three has the better 11.
Mine's just the best 18 instead. It'd be so much easier. I'll say that, and it probably won't be. All right, okay. I think that's pretty much everything. Unless there's anything else that I've missed, we've missed.
I did want to quickly say about the whole Sarmiento thing. Caicedo. I think that's an unbelievable loan signing for West Brom. Obviously, De Zerbi was saying about how he wants him to get 35 matches minimum, which is why he's gone alone, because obviously he can't get it out of the club. People online did say that, well, Facundo should have gone out, we should have kept Sarmiento. But if you listen to De Zerbi, of what I just said about the matches, Sarmiento needs those games in an intense league more than Facundo does right now.
He's been injured as well quite a bit.
Yeah, Facundo's a few seasons off Sarmiento.
Yeah, he's never played over four games in a row, as he Sarmiento.
Probably
so,
not.
I mean, that's quite a mad stat. So, like,
and also, Lars
before
Den
we
Donker,
do wrap up,
okay, is that what you're going to say?
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say about Lars. Well. I was just going to say, I mean, thanks, I guess. I don't really want that thing, because I don't want to have to do these sort of things. But obviously, Lars Den Donker, as probably everyone's seen by now, has had to been forced to retire, former under-23s here, unfortunately, only aged 22. He's been forced to retire over a heart condition. It's not clear what's sort of the heart condition at the moment. No one quite knows, I don't think. It's not confirmed whether it's hereditary like Enoch's was. But it's a very hard to take, you know, obviously as a 22-year-old. It must be mad when you've dedicated your life to becoming a footballer and you're only just getting that chance to do that. So obviously, of course, our thoughts are with him and his family at this minute, because it must be quite tough, I can imagine.
Hopefully as well.
You know, it seems to happen too often with Brighton.
Hopefully, I was just going to say, hopefully we can give him some kind of, obviously we'll give him support and stuff as we always do, but in terms of maybe like a role at the club, like that'd be quite nice. I know we usually do that kind of stuff, which obviously, we're really well-run club.
So keep fit maybe.
Yeah, like keep him around the training ground and hopefully maybe get his badges and become a coach or something like that, hopefully. And like Ryan said, hopefully all our best wishes to Lars and obviously his family as well. And hopefully you carry on in football, Lars, and become a coach or become something integral in Brighton or football in general. And wish you all the luck.
I mean, I do believe we actually sold Den Donker, didn't we, a while ago? But yes, the a lot of people sort of asked whether he was the brother of Leander, and he is.
Yeah, he is.
He is the brother of Leander, so I'd imagine he sticks in and around football somewhere, somehow. Yeah. Obviously, Den Donker name is in football.
Do you remember that Wolves
But yes,
fan?
It seems to happen a lot in Brighton currently.
You've got Lars Den Donker, we've got Leandro Den Donker, Den Donker. Do you remember that guy that sang that song? The Wolves fan?
Yeah, I do remember that. But yes, it's a shame, as we say. And it's been a few, isn't it? We've had Orlandi, obviously, had to force retire quite early. Oscar Garcia had to come away from Watford after departing. We had Connor Goldson, obviously, go through it in 2015-16 season.
God, yeah.
Enoch Mwepu more recently, and Lars Den Donker now to add to an unfortunate list, which we don't want. So hopefully that is the end of that, I hope, anyway. And to obviously sign off a very fun episode. Obviously, the serious stuff has to come as well.
Definitely get that. In the
other than that, actually do comment. Comment that about Lars. Wishing him all the best, of course. Not to change the subject brutally, but we have to because we have to end the episode. But thank you all for listening and watching, subscribing, commenting, liking. And everything else on social media, because you can pretty much do everything these days on there. Make sure you follow us, see your social, and we will see you probably, what have we got, Newcastle upcoming? So probably see you after Newcastle in the summer series.
12:30 a.m. on Sasa, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's technically a Friday night, so if you're staying up. You're not going to stay up?
I will be there.
I'm such a wimp with times. I'll be asleep.
I'll try and stay up.
I'm not going to lie, I might be, but I'd probably not be.
I'm a night owl. I will be there.
I'm a night owl, but not through choice. I'll just lay awake. That's my trouble. I don't want to be awake, but I'll be awake, if that makes sense. Yeah. Anyway, see you later. See you later. Bye-bye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.